Time to meet the men from the ministry. You're invited once again to walk the White Hallway with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Ministry men have to be constantly alert, and in the General Assistance Department, they must have a wealth of information at their fingertips, ready to answer any queries that may arise.
What's the date today, too?
Sorry, I've no idea.
Well, I just want to finish this form, and then I'm off for the weekend. I'm popping down to the country, you know. Yes, staying with the Cavendish Burkes.
Oh, them posh friends you met in Alcatraz.
In Algeciras, Mildred, our Spanish holiday.
I read about them in my magazine. They've got a stately home, haven't they?
Yes, I suppose you could call it that, yes.
Well, what else could you call it? It's so big, if they want to be in bed by midnight, they have to leave the sitting room at 10.
Now, don't exaggerate, Mildred.
And they used to throw it open to the public.
Yes, they did, but Mrs. Cavendish Burke didn't like them staring at her private quarters.
I wish I was rich. My mother used to give my brother sixpence to take me out in my pram, and I've been pushed for money ever since.
Never envy a rich man, too. A rich man's only a poor man with wealth.
Well, that's all very well, but rich people have got all these blooming luxuries, and we secretaries haven't even got hot water in the typist's washroom.
Oh, dear, is that boiler broken down again?
And the door of our washroom's broken. It's got a great big hole.
All right, Mildred, I'll look into it. Tell you what, I'll have a word with old Fumbler Grant on my way downstairs. By Jove, that isn't the time, is it? I must be off.
What if the permanent undersecretary finds you've left on Friday morning?
Oh, Sir Gregory's not likely to come in. He'll have gone himself by now. If he does, make up some excuse, you know, tell him my kitchen ceiling's fallen in or my niece is having a baby.
Or you've gone to your grandmother's funeral.
Something like that, yes, yes. Well, carry on, both of you. I'll see you midday on Monday.
Oh, carry on, indeed. If he's sloping off early, why shouldn't I?
Are you weekending in a stately home, sir?
Not exactly, but tomorrow I'm going out with the Civil Service Nature Study group.
Don't leave just yet, Mr. Lamb. It's ever so embarrassing having to cover for you and Mr. Lennox Brown if Sir Gregory does come in.
Ah, Lamb, I want a word with you.
Sir Gregory, I wasn't going to sneak away early, I promise you. And even if I had been going to, I certainly wouldn't have gone as early as this.
Lamb, you're rambling again.
No, not till tomorrow, Sir Gregory.
Lamb, I don't know what you're talking about, but please sit down and just speak when spoken to. Now then, Miss Murfin.
Yes, sir?
Where is Mr. Lennox Brown?
Mr. Lennox Brown, sir?
That is what I said, Miss Murfin.
The Mr. Lennox Brown who works in this office?
That is a matter of opinion.
He had to leave early, sir. His grandmother had a baby.
What?
No, 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 Sir Gregory. Mildred's got it wrong. His niece fell through the kitchen ceiling.
Why is it that every time I ask a simple question in this office, it's like gala night in a lunatic asylum? Mr. Lennox Brown, I take it, isn't here.
Yes, sir. He isn't. I mean, he is not here.
Thank you. That is something I shall discuss with him on Monday. In the meantime, you, Lamb, are the senior man. Bizarre, though the thought may be. So listen carefully.
Yes, Sir Gregory.
Now, we of the General Assistance Department have been asked to help the Ministry of Works. They're overloaded at the moment because of next month's state visit by President Grotti of Westphalia. It's essential we put up a good show for him. London must look at its best.
Perhaps some fairy lights round the Foreign Office.
Thank you, Lamb, but the Ministry of Works have made their plans. No. Important buildings are already being washed. The problem now is the statues. They want them cleaned. No. Especially that splendid bronze in the mall, the goddess Aphrodite, entitled A Vision of Beauty. She must be cleaned as soon as possible, plus the statues of Churchill and Queen Victoria, which first have to be repaired. Now, Mr. Balderstone of the Statues Department tells me some pieces are missing.
Oh, there's nothing missing from the goddess Aphrodite. I'm surprised she doesn't topple over.
It isn't a matter of a tittering, lamb. This statue work is top priority. Yes. Mr. Balderstone himself will ring on Monday to advise on cleaning the Vision of Beauty. The repairs, you can start at once.
Have a pleasant weekend, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Crawley. Yes, I was with some friends in the country.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. I always say a change is as good as a what's-his-name.
Do you really? Yes. Yes, it was a house party, you know. Some rather sophisticated people.
Oh, lovely.
Hello? No one in the office?
Well, I think they were doing something for Sir Gregory. Do you mind if I wait? I wanted a word with Mr. Lamb, you see.
Yes, by all means, Mr. Crawley, but forgive me if I start work at once, won't you? Rather a lot on my plate.
Oh, you go right ahead. Yeah. I wouldn't want to interfere with you.
I'm glad to hear it. Mildred's very upset, you know. She can't get a proper wash here. Mm. Apparently there's no hot water in the typist's washroom.
So, no doubt you've stepped in.
Naturally. Yes. Yes, the welfare of my staff is my first concern, you know. I spoke to Mr. Grant on Friday, and he's having an expert ring me about it. Ah, this may be them now, yes. Lennox Brown, General Assistance Department.
Balderstone here, Ministry of Works. I've been asked to advise you on this washing problem.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Balderstone. Yes, it is quite a problem, I can tell you.
Oh, we must get this Vision of Beauty washed as soon as possible.
My word, Crawley. They seem to think rather highly of Mildred over there. Yes, I'm delighted to hear it.
Oh, it's tragic that people should see her in this filthy condition. I'm told she's got mildew behind the ears.
Well, she's not actually filthy, Mr. Balderstone. I mean, all she needs is just a little hot water.
Hot water? Oh, no, no, no. That could take all the shine off her. No, she needs to be wiped all over with a greasy cloth.
A greasy cloth?
That's right. Will you be doing it yourself?
I beg your pardon.
Well, once she's been wiped down, she should be covered in paraffin and scrubbed with a long-handled brush.
What?
It'll need two men to get her really clean.
Are you serious?
All right, then, three. She has got some tricky nooks and crannies.
Now, look here. You're going too far. I will not have her shut away in a little room being washed by three men.
Well, of course not, Mr. Lennox Brown. She must be washed down out in the mall.
In the mall?
Don't worry. The tourists quite enjoy this sort of thing.
Look here, Balderstone. I will not listen to another word. How dare you utter those obscenities?
I'm only passing on Sir Gregory's instructions.
Oh, Sir Gregory, yes, I might have known that old lecher had something to do with this. He should be locked up. And as for you, Balderstone, as for you, you ought to be horsewhipped. The man was making the most foul suggestions about Mildred.
Oh, I don't know what this world's coming to. I blame all this colour TV.
Fella must be a maniac.
Mr. Lamb's taking longer than I thought. I'm afraid I'll have to be off.
Yes, well, shall I ask him to ring you, Mr. Crawley?
Oh, yes, please. I was hoping he'd put me up for the Civil Service Nature Study Group. I fancy a what's-his-name in the woods every Saturday.
Is that what Lamb's up to?
Yes, I follow his lead in all sorts of things. If I ever reach the top, it'll be thanks to your clever Mr. Lamb.
Yes, if you ever reach the top, I'll eat my what's-his-name. Clever Mr. Lamb, indeed. No wonder they call him Creepy Crawley.
Morning, Mal.
Morning, Mr. Lennox Brown.
You look quite upset, Mal.
Yes.
Didn't you enjoy your weekend with Mr. Carraway Burke?
Cavendish Burke.
Well, I knew it was some Burke. Wasn't it as good as you expected?
I had an excellent weekend, thank you, too, but I've just had an obscene phone call from a Mr. Balderstone.
Yeah, Balderstone. Wasn't that the man from the statue department, Mildred?
Oh, yeah. He was going to ring about cleaning the goddess Aphrodite.
Statue department? You mean... He didn't mean...
After you went on Friday, Sir Gregory came in and gave us this job for the Misery of Works.
Cleaning and repairing statues.
We've already had the Queen Victoria and Churchill statues repaired, and lots of others. Sir Gregory will be pleased.
Right, you lot. I want a word with you.
Oh, good morning, Sir Gregory.
Don't beat about the bush, Lennox Brown.
Oh.
Where were you on Friday?
Friday? I was at my grandmother's funeral, you see, sir.
Yes. Oh, I am sorry.
Yes, thank
Perhaps
you.
This sudden attack of childbirth was too much for her.
Don't quite understand, Sir Gregory.
Well, don't let that worry you. It's hard to understand anything in this office. I, for instance, can't quite understand why you've attended your grandmother's funeral 5 times in the last 3 years.
I think it's the cold weather, son.
What?
But look, I can explain, Sir Gregory.
Oh, no, we'll leave it for now, Lennox Brown. Leave it. I've more important matters to be furious about.
Well, you can't be furious with me, Sir Gregory. Several statues have been repaired already. We've had all the broken pieces put back. I supervised the job myself.
I thought you did, Lamb. With the result that Sir Winston Churchill now carries an orb and scepter, while Queen Victoria is smoking a cigar and making a V sign at the House of Commons.
They put on the wrong blooming arms.
Get this sorted out double quick, or I'll hammer you into the ground with your own umbrella. All statues must be cleaned and properly repaired before President Grotti's visit. Without fail. Get it?
Got it.
Good.
I've just been down the washroom, Mr. Lennox Brown. Everything's working a treat now.
Ah, well, I'm glad we got that sorted out at last. Fumbler Grant sent a plumber this morning.
Well, apparently it was that old cistern.
Ah, the cistern, yes.
So at least we can get our hot water bottles filled.
Of course, with the winter coming on, you need lagging round the bottom. Yes, well, that's one nasty problem settled. And talking of nasty problems, where's Mr. Lamb this morning?
Morning, Ron. Morning, Mildred.
Well, where on earth have you been to? You look even worse than usual.
I've been supervising the cleaning of the statues.
Oh, yes.
Yesterday afternoon, I was up at the top of Nelson's Column checking on the day's work. And at 5 o'clock, some fool took the ladder away.
You don't mean you've been up there all night?
Yes.
And you didn't get any sleep?
Well, I couldn't, could I? I mean, if I dropped off, I might have dropped off.
Poor Mr. Lamb. Well, never mind. I'll go and make you a nice cuppa.
Oh, thank you, Mildred. It's a pretty thankless job, one. No sooner have the men cleaned the statue than along come a flock of pigeons and all their work's undone.
Yes, these wretched pigeons are a menace. I've always said so, yes. They perform no worthwhile function at all.
Just like me.
Yes. What?
I've always said the same thing. Pigeons perform no worthwhile function.
Look what some blasted pigeon has done to my burla hat.
Well, perhaps they do sometimes.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, Sir Gregory. I mean, the pigeon couldn't have known you were the permanent undersecretary.
What?
Well, I mean, it's a sign of good luck, they say, when a pigeon drops a message like that.
Oh, rubbish, Lennox Brown. Pigeons are a pest, an infernal, disgusting nuisance.
Yes, sir.
Just what we were saying, Sir Gregory.
Pigeons are the cause of our dirty statues. Mm. It's time something was done about them.
Quite right, sir. Otherwise, we'll never get the place clean in time for the President's visit.
And another thing, President Grotti may wish to travel in an open coach, and with all these pigeons about, you know what that could mean.
He'd end up a very spotty Grotti.
Well, I'm a man of vision, Lennox Brown.
If you say so, sir.
And it's obvious to me you should now direct your energies to getting rid of London's pigeons before the President's arrival. The Ministry of Works can handle the statues.
You want us to get rid of the pigeons, Sir Gregory?
If you ask me, they're there because they're being fed. All these people who go round with bits of bread in paper bags.
By Jove, that's a point to that. Yes, if they stop feeding them, the pigeons would go away.
Ah, we might have something there.
Yes, sir?
Yes, I'm glad I thought of that. Hmm? We must put a stop to it at once.
You mean bring in a law against feeding pigeons?
No, new laws take too long to get through Parliament. They've only just passed the one banning stagecoaches in Hyde Park.
Well, then, what's the answer, sir?
Well, what's the usual answer when we want to stop people doing something, but there isn't a law against it?
Ah, charge them with causing a breach of the peace.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, put it in hand right away, you two.
Yes, sir.
This feeding of pigeons must be stamped out.
Yes. Here is the news read by John Curl. The new drive to arrest people feeding London's pigeons has caused widespread reactions. 5 vanloads of elderly ladies have already been taken into custody and charged with possessing breadcrumbs. This follows a swoop by the Pigeon Patrol, led by Inspector Bird of the Flying Squad. And here's a news flash. One of the notorious embankment gang rounded up this afternoon is now known to be the Lord Chief Justice. Police say he was found in a compromising position with several birds. It appears he was feeding them beetroot sandwiches and was caught red-handed.
You incompetent, blundering idiots! Getting people arrested for feeding pigeons? I never heard such daft nonsense.
But Sir Gregory, when we discussed it the other day, you said it was a splendid idea.
Don't make feeble excuses, Lamb. It's got to stop.
You mean we're not to get rid of the pigeons after all?
Well, of course you're to get rid of the pigeons. Just find a better way to do it.
Excuse me, sir. There's a special sort of grease you can spray on roofs and things, and the pigeons can't settle. They just slip off.
Would that work, I wonder?
Oh, yes, sir. My gran and granddad use it all the time. They slide down the roof into the water butt.
What very athletic grandparents.
The pigeons, Mr. Lamb.
I've heard of this grease, Miss Murphy. The trouble's always been how to get it on all London's rooftops at once.
Perhaps I might make an ingenious proposal, sir.
Perhaps, but I doubt it.
I suggest, sir, that this greasy substance, this pigeon repellent, is sprayed on the roofs from the air by helicopters.
Now, as I see it,
yes,
this stuff could be sprayed from the air by a helicopter. What do you think of that, eh?
it's a splendid idea, Sir Gregory.
Oh, thank you. Right, you two will be in charge of the operation. Get on with it right away.
And here is the news. New measures to combat London's pigeon problem began today when helicopters sprayed the city roofs with a special grease to prevent the birds settling. Unfortunately, due to prevailing winds, the grease missed the rooftops and landed on roads and pavements instead. Widespread chaos resulted. The British Tourist Board say it is now possible to have holidays in Greece without leaving London. In Piccadilly Circus, taxis and cars have been hurtling round Eros out of control and unable to stop. The chaos was watched by large flocks of pigeons sitting on London's roofs. The birds appeared to be laughing.
In other words, you're not pleased with us, Sir Gregory.
I am speechless, Lamb. Speechless.
We do apologize, Sir Gregory. And, of course, we've suffered too.
I'm delighted to hear it.
The grease is especially treacherous in Whitehall, sir. The entire department had to crawl to work on their hands and knees.
From your normal time of arrival, I thought you always did. Spraying London with grease, indeed. What an absurd idea. Now, the whole thing was a ghastly blunder. London's roads must be cleared of grease at once.
Perhaps the helicopters could spray them with detergent, sir.
I'm going to arrange for helicopters to spray them with detergent. Now, how do we get rid of these blasted pigeons?
I have the perfect solution for getting rid of pigeons.
Very well, Lennox Brown, surprise me.
Thank you, sir. Use the pigeons' natural enemies, creatures from the wild.
Come to the point.
Oh, well, the point is, Sir Gregory, if we borrow some falcons and eagles, they'll attack the pigeons and frighten them away, you see.
Falcons? Eagles? Where do we get them?
Well, my friends, the Cavendish Burkes, breed falcons on their estate in Scotland. I'm sure that they'd let us have some, sir.
And the zoo could lend us some eagles.
Well, funnily enough, Lennox Brown, I was just about to suggest using birds of prey. Oh. Yeah. Well, better get started at once. I think we've finally got the answer.
Wanna bet?
And here is the news. The birds of prey set loose in London to combat the pigeon problem have caused widespread havoc. Outside the law courts, a falcon dived on the Lord Chief Justice and ripped out the seat of his trousers. He was rescued by passers-by who saw his predicament. London's pigeons seem unaffected by the new arrivals, and there are reports that some of them joined a gang of falcons in attacking the Prime Minister's budgie. Further problems have been caused by the detergent sprayed in the streets last night. After heavy rain, the city was covered in 6 feet of lather.
It didn't work, did it?
But that was the only flaw, Sir Gregory.
Oh, it was a ludicrous suggestion, a half-witted, half-baked act
act of lunatic folly. If this pigeon problem weren't so urgent, I'd take great pleasure in kicking you both down the ministry stairs. There are now more birds than ever, and London looks like a giant washing-up bowl.
I've been thinking of taking a spot of leave, sir.
Well, think again, Lennox Brown. By the time I've finished with you, the only sort of leave you'll get is sick leave. Now, what do you say to that?
If you need me here, I'll be happy to stay, sir.
President Grotty arrives next week. He'll think this country's run by madmen.
And he won't be far wrong.
Now, once and for all, this problem is your pigeon. I want the birds gone and the city cleaned up before the president gets here. You've got 10 days to do it.
Well, no problem's ever defeated the ministry before, sir. But suppose this one did.
Then you'd both be dismissed, Lennox Brown. Sacked.
Oh, not sacked and dismissed, Sir Gregory.
And hung, and drawn, and quartered by me, personally.
I believe, sir, it's time to do what we always do with really tough problems.
Stuff them down behind the radiator.
I mean, appeal to the people's patriotism, sir. Why don't we urge the public to get rid of the pigeons as a patriotic gesture?
Well, you think people will shoot pigeons for the sake of the country?
Yes, sir, I'm sure they will. Especially if they get money as well.
That's it, one. We could offer rewards for shooting pigeons. 50p for a brace or £1 for a pair of braces.
By thunder, this time I think I've got it. Harness the nation's greed, and there's nothing we can't do.
Pigeon hunting will be all the rage. We could have a slogan like, there's a price on that pigeon.
Or, pot a pigeon for Europe, eh? What? Make the arrangements at once, you two. By Jove, I could get a CB for this.
I suppose the Godfather will take all the credit as usual.
Wait and see if it works before we worry about that.
It can't fail, Mildred. At 50 pence a time, everybody will be chasing pigeons.
I'll even have a go myself. Hand me those rubber bands, Mildred, and some paper clips. I'll make one of my catapults. Oh, this will be exciting.
As a last bid to get rid of London's pigeons, shooting parties were out in force throughout the metropolis today. A syndicate of Yorkshire businessmen who have leased the shooting rights in Leicester Square were out with their guns at dawn. Beaters concealed themselves in the public washrooms and a number of birds were flushed out. This afternoon, Sir Alec Douglas-Smythe led a party of sportsmen in Parliament Square. They're reported to have brought down a large number of pigeons and winged 2 traffic wardens. They later moved further afield when told the sound of gunfire was keeping MPs awake. London's civil servants have been making their own bids for pigeon bounties. Some have been leaning from their office windows, hitting out at the birds with their umbrellas. Others have been lassoing them with red tape. Now, here's a late news flash. We've just heard that the Lord Chief Justice, while bending to pull up his socks, was peppered with shot on the South Bank. His condition is said to be uncomfortable.
Jove, too, it worked.
I rarely think it has, one. There's not a pigeon to be seen in London.
Didn't take them long to get the message. Yes, they've all retired to the south coast.
Mr. Balderston's getting all the statues cleaned in a nick of time, and this time they'll stay clean.
Oh, yes, for once, Sir Gregory must be pleased with us, you know.
I wouldn't bank on it, one. Hmm? Show him a silver lining, and he'll always find a cloud.
Well, 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 it seems we've finally made it, right?
Yes, Sir Gregory.
Well, I said all along a public pigeon drive was the answer. Everyone's very pleased with me.
Even the Lord Chief Justice?
What? Oh, yes, he got peppered with shot, didn't he? Well, to tell you the truth, Lamb, I'm not all that keen on him anyway. And now I've got his chair at the club. He won't be using it for a while.
Well, sir, London's in perfect order for the President's visit tomorrow.
Indeed it is. The PM's so delighted with my efforts, he's invited me to the champagne reception.
Oh, but, I mean, what about us, Sir Gregory? I mean, we did some of the work, didn't we?
Yes, I dare say you did. I'll see you get a few extra luncheon vouchers in the next financial year.
Oh, thank you very much, Sir Gregory.
Oh, don't let it be said I'm not a generous man. Here, have a cigar.
Thank you, sir.
Don't pull it about. You can cut it in half later.
It's Excuse me, Sir Gregory. Mr. Lennox Brown, I think you should see this bit in my magazine.
Now, Mildred. You're not trying to get me on a diet again, are you?
No, sir. This bit here. Hmm? The article about the president's visit.
Oh, really? Let's have a look at that, then. President Grotti is a keen ornithologist. One of the things I look forward to most, he told me, is the chance to see London's famous pigeons. I have heard...
Lennox Brown! Did I hear what I thought I heard?
This Grotti chap's a bird fancier.
He wants to see our pigeons and they've gone.
You pair of nincompoops, you dunderheaded nitwits. Fancy getting rid of London's pigeons, one of our most treasured possessions. Oh, just let me get my hands on you.
Yes, Sir Gregory, please don't throw the in-tray.
Just a minute, gentlemen, just a minute, please. Now, if President Grotti wants to see pigeons in London, he shall see pigeons in London.
Well, how can he see them when you've driven them away?
We'll import them, sir.
Import them?
Yes, sir. From Manchester, Liverpool, Fazakerley, Norwich Green and Notty Ash. Oh, there are thousands also in Glasgow, you know. I tell you what, we'll run special trains.
But they won't know their way around London, will they?
We'll give them road maps, Sir Gregory. We'll send people out with bags full of bread.
Oh, blimey, here we go again.
It's a wonderful idea, bags of bread.
Getting the Bird as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley and John Graham. The programme was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor. Thank you.